Why a book about Juliet Gordon Lowe? Were you a Girl Scout?
I was a Girl Scout. I'm a third-generation Girl Scout.
Was that the primary motivation for you, plus the centennial coming up?
Well, yes, but also I am a woman's historian, and here is a woman who no one knows. 50 million American women have been Girl Scouts, and yet if you say Juliet Gordon Lowe to the average person on the street, you get a completely blank look. I found it fascinating as a historian that in this day and age, 2012, we've been working at Women's History for so long, she's still virtually unknown. And yet her organization changed so many lives and touched every sector of our society. So it felt like a mission, both personal and professional, if you will.
Well, Juliet Lowe has nearly mythical status in parts of this state, in parts of Georgia, because of the Savannah Link. As a child, she was called Crazy Daisy. Was that was that an endearing epithet, or was it critical?
It was both, actually. Her family gave her that nickname because she could be quixotic, a little unpredictable. But it's my take on Juliet Lowe that Crazy Daisy was a kind of learned response to not having a real role in the family. She wasn't the oldest child. She wasn't the baby. She wasn't a son. And she learned early on that she could cheer people up and make them happy if she did these unpredictable things. And so her funny Crazy Daisy stories make terrific telling around the campfire, no doubt about it. But what I learned is Crazy Daisy drops off as she matures, as though she doesn't need that anymore. She's growing up. She's becoming who she is. Then it comes back after she is deafened by two accidents. And I think that she uses the Crazy Daisy again to avoid ever being the object of pity.
As a member of Savannah Society, she was born into wealth. And then she married an aristocrat from Britain who was wealthy, and they move away to England. And then her life takes a rather disastrous turn. The marriage goes bad, and her husband dies. Can we thank her bad marriage as the catalyst for the founding of the Girl Scouts?
Yes, and if I tried it in 100 Girl Scouts right now, 50 of them would say yes and 50 would say no.
Okay.
I think there's a long chain that leads to the creation of the Girl Scouts, and it includes a lot from her Savannah upbringing, from her mother's side of the family, from her father's side of the family. Juliet Lowe imbibed a strong belief that you had to give back to the community. You had to be involved in your neighbors. You had to make the world a better place. And so when it comes time for her to figure out what she's going to do with her life after she's widowed, after she's brokenhearted, now that she's 51 years old, was never a mother, had failed at the two signal accomplishments of women of her era, well, I think she appreciated Robert Baden-Powell's Boy Scouting program because the groundwork had been laid, you know, a whole lifetime ago. So I think it was natural for her to embrace the Boy Scouts. Now, would she have done it without the shocking situation in which she found herself, widowed and sad like that? I think she might have. It's hard to know. Historians love what-if history. So this is a great question. We could debate this for days.
The Scout movement, which, you know, began in Britain, was that in part, do you think, a response to increasing industrialization and urbanization both in Britain and the U.S.? You know, people are moving off the farm, they're moving into cities, and maybe it's an attempt to reconnect with what used to be second nature, and that would be nature?
Yes, that's part of it. It's a very complex web of things that make up why Boy Scouting had such an appeal. Juliet Lowe was a part of progressive era reform in this country. And so Boy Scouting, Girl Scouting, Girl Guiding has roots in the fresh air movement, in the camping movement, in the settlement house movement, in the kindergarten movement, the playground movement. So any of these child welfare ideas had been floating around. And Boy Scouting draws also on a bit of Wild West mythology, tracking in the military, scouting in Robert Baden-Powell's own military career. And there are a lot of strands that tie together to make this. It's interesting to me that Juliet Lowe is certainly active in the progressive era, but not actively a part of it, if you will. She doesn't engage with leading reformers of her era, like Jane Addams, or Florence Kelly. So this is one of the reasons I think she's been neglected by history, is that she's not exactly on the radar because she doesn't write to these women. She doesn't utilize their experience, and this is an unusual path to take. Julia Gordon Low created the Girl Scouts friend by friend, family member by family member, rather than tapping into the larger social reform networks.
How were the Girl Scouts of 100 years ago, the Girl Guides as they began, how are they different than today? To what extent did they stress women's independence, independence from men back in the after the turn of the 20th century?
Well, Julia Gordon Low was a product of her time. So she could not have created a viable program that completely severed the traditional training for women. So Girl Scouting in its early days placed an emphasis on women's role in the home. She placed an equal emphasis on domestic skills, on housekeeping skills, and knew that this was critical to most women who would, in fact, grow up to be wives and mothers. However, she also understood from personal experience that girls had to be prepared for alternate futures. And so Girl Scouting was forward-thinking in this way. Julia Gordon Low said very plainly in her manual and elsewhere, girls can be anything. They can be bankers. They can be doctors. They can be interior decorators. They can do whatever they want to do. No field should be closed to girls. And so her program of training equipped girls to do a little of everything, inculcated leadership skills, self-reliance, resourcefulness, independent thinking. This is all a part of what resonated both with her and with the girls. However, the most important thing for Juliet Low was fun. Girl Scouting had to be fun, and that's true today as well as 100 years ago.
But the idea of Girl Scouts or Girl Guides at that time was not without controversy, was it?
No, there were several controversial things, but nothing was insurmountably controversial, if you will. Uniforms caused a bit of a sticky wicket for some parents, but others saw this as, you know, something that was simply fun and not offensive. Traipsing out into the countryside to camp could seem a bit unusual, but there was a larger movement of fresh air and getting kids out of the cities and making sure that they got to see nature. So this was part and parcel of that. There was some controversy about the proximity to boys. Should boys and girls be doing the same thing, wearing essentially the same uniform, calling themselves the same thing? And this turned some parents off, but not girls. Girls were anxious, eager, excited to learn this special knowledge that boys had.
What surprised you most about Juliet Gordon Low and in the research you did? What did you uncover anything that you said, oh my gosh, this is shocking?
Well, Girl Scouts love their Crazy Daisy image, and I'm one of them. I think the Crazy Daisy tales about her eccentric behavior are fantastic and funny and warm and wonderful and all rooted in her kindness, I believe. But what I discovered pretty early on is that crazy is a way, and by crazy what we mean is not, you know, insane, but quirky. Crazy is a way to dismiss women and their accomplishments. And I found that Juliet Gordon Low could not be crazy in that quirky, idiosyncratic way to such an extreme, because she couldn't have been that and then founded the organization she founded. Because she did not just found the Girl Scouts, she also grew it and she led it and was involved with it until she died in 1927. So she was, in fact, as I've said before, she was crazy like a fox. She was canny, she was savvy, she was a very fine CEO of her organization. She had many skills that an organization leader today would be proud to have. And so that surprised me, I think, because my initial understanding of Juliet Gordon Low comes from my Brownie circle, when I learned about her deafness and her accomplishments in light of her difficulty hearing. And then we learn about how quirky and unpredictable she was. So as a historian, as a mature woman, looking at her life and her accomplishments, I could not make those two things add up. I could not make Crazy Daisy also the visionary CEO of an organization that was so spectacularly successful, even in her lifetime. That, for me, was a surprise.
Well, I've stocked up on Samoas and Tagalongs and enough boxes to last me till Easter if I pace myself. So how did the Girl Scouts hit on the idea of selling cookies to begin with?
This grew organically out of one of Juliet Gordon Low's most prized maxims, and that was that the girls had to be invested in the community and the community had to be invested in the girls. And so in Muskogee, Oklahoma, we believe, girls got the idea of selling cookies to their neighbors in an effort to raise money to achieve what they wanted to achieve. That's still true today. Today, Girl Scouts decide what they want to do, they figure out how to fund it, and then they make it happen. Cookie sales caught on because who doesn't love cookies? And so over the years, it's become a much more of a business. But in 1917, those cookies taught girls baking skills, measuring skills, mathematical skills when they made them themselves. But they also taught the same things that girls learn today, and that has to do with financial responsibility and bookkeeping skills. It teaches girls to be brave because they have to go to their neighbors and they have to make the ask. It's difficult for women to actually say, will you buy this from me? That's tough to make the ask. So girls learn a panoply of skills from cookie sales, and that would be completely consonant with what Juliet Gordon Low hoped for her early organization.
Stacy Cordery is the author of Juliet Gordon Low, the remarkable founder of the Girl Scouts. Dr. Cordery, thank you for taking the time.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.